Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Tuesday, 29th of December, 2020. And this will be our final daily podcast for the year. However, I will be doing a special edition podcast with our fixed income strategist, Altea Spinozzi, tomorrow, looking at some themes that were prevalent in 2020 and what we're seeing in the coming year. I think that'll be a great podcast on fixed income perspectives, especially credit. And I caught a couple of thoughts on credit actually today, but I'll save that a bit for later. In any case, whether it's the U.S. Stimulus check hopes that these will be expanded to $2,000 or otherwise, equity markets trying to close out the year in a positive mood. We had another record high in the U.S. and it followed through a bit higher still in after hours trading. But I highlighted the Nikkei 225 because of the spectacular gains we saw overnight there. I couldn't link that to any specific news story, although clearly you can see from the chart there is quite a line in the sand there in recent weeks and even back into November, just below 27,000, sort of a line of resistance that had developed. And that seems to have all given way at once, and we saw a tremendous follow through, 2.5% gains on the day. And in fitting with some of our recent cautionary notes on how extended this market is in a speculative sense, we've talked about that in previous podcasts. There's a great follow on Twitter for those out there. You can see it on slide 3 in today's publication. Sorry, it's a slide deck. We have Troy Bombardier with some great charts he puts out with the perspectives, not always bearish. It doesn't seem to be one way or the other. His notes, quantitative look at different aspects of the market. But this one on margin debt is quite interesting. It's risen 50% margin debt over the past 8 months in the U.S. And that's only happened twice before in the past 30 years. And of course, that was just preceding some of these massive highs in the broader market. You'll recall for the March 2000 cycle, that was the top in the tech, which was the sort of the popular participation part of the stock universe. That was the peak in the tech and the NASDAQ, while the S&P 500 managed to sort of crawl to a new high all the way into September on the rotation into the undervalued broader market. Ole, you also put an insert on slide 4 here. We're looking at, we talked about in our internal market discussion this morning, team meeting this morning, about this ARK Invest, this ETF, which invests only in disruptive innovators, I think was the quote from their prospectus. They've been the leader there. Cathie Wood has been sort of a thought leader on stock selection. They've had a spectacular performance. But interesting just to note specifically, of course, it's spectacular results. Their top two holdings have been Tesla and Roku, or at least those are the top two holdings now. But it's interesting to note these last few days, and especially yesterday, a very ugly day in an otherwise up market. And then, Ola, you popped in that little insert there showing how they're rotating into larger caps. Maybe what is that bringing in terms of information value there?
Exactly, and I think simply because they have to, because they've grown from an asset size of 1.5 billion to around 18 billion over the last 12 months, and that obviously starts to and that is the curse of funds. I worked for hedge fund in London for a number of years back in the early parts of this millennium, and as you grow, obviously you start to struggle to get the impact from the smaller markets that you trade, and that seems to be also start to be a bit of an issue here. But clearly it is one of the, just like gold ETFs, you have to they have to declare their holdings every single day. The same goes for this particular ETF, and that's why I so closely watch, because they every single day they have to announce what changes they made to their equity composition, and I think that's been followed quite heavily by many people in from a trading idea perspective, but they're starting to run into some problems here. It looks like, because they've grown so dramatically fast.
Yeah, and the ticker for that, by the way, is ARKK for that ETF. An interesting story there, and again, an interesting divergence relative to the broader market. NFX largely seeing with the risk on, with the stimulus checks idea. So this $2,000 stimulus check idea from Trump, that has been now put into a bill in the House, and that House bill has passed the House with strong bipartisan support. Democrats have always been in favor of more stimulus, and you know, many the House representatives much closer to their voters, and this is a popular measure, and they don't want to be against it. So there are a large number of Republicans as well supporting this $2,000 idea. However, it would have to pass the Senate as well to become law. And it's not even entirely sure whether this comes to a vote in the Senate, because Senate Leader McConnell is pretty much against this, and some other Republican senators are as well. They could try to go for a slightly different bill with a larger stimulus check payment, but it's not 100% sure that this $2,000 stimulus goes through. But if it does, I think it's quite an interesting sign of just complete lack of any sort of fiscal rectitude. You're talking about almost $500 billion of checks just dropped into the economy. There's no investment. It's just money to spend. That's over 2% of U.S. GDP. And yeah, we'll be interesting to see if that passes. And we'll watch for what the Senate does in coming days on that note. So certainly, you know, a headwind for the dollar, this kind of ongoing stimulus bill parade. Then on sterling, we're seeing again, as we noted yesterday, the sterling rally has not been there at all on the agreement of the Brexit deal. There's the sort of the spin now is that, of course, with this new deal, we're not seeing new tariffs on physical goods, but despite the lack of tariffs, there is still suddenly more overhead, customs, and otherwise red tape and bureaucracy before goods can be shipped and processed. So that is leading to automakers considering, you know, pulling out operations out of the UK. Honda apparently announcing it will close a plant. Nissan is not planning to make some of the new models in the UK. So this could be a concern. And of course, there are other issues like financial services that have not been decided in Brexit. So really, Brexit in reality is continuing, and there are many questions hanging over the situation as well. The UK's handling of COVID is still a problem. You can see a little insert on there on slide 5 that they just saw a record daily count in recent days here. So Eurosterling, it's still middle of the range from the last few weeks, but if it goes above around 91, 91.50, I think we may be testing the highs of the range towards 92.50. It's very disappointing, especially given sort of a general strong global risk sentiment backdrop, to not see a better reaction from Sterling to this deal being signed off. Ola, you've got the COT report. So the positioning in the U.S. futures market was somewhat delayed due to the holidays, but you've got the latest update for us. So take us through anything interesting you're seeing in that one.
I think the main takeaway, John, is really just the fact that the hedge funds are positioning themselves for further gains right out of the block here in 2021. We can see on the left hand side the total longs that they have accumulated in agriculture, metals, and energy. That we are back to the highs that we saw in the early parts of 2017. What's different this time as well is the fact that it's more evenly split out. Back then it was an energy-led jump in positions. This time around we've seen quite a significant jump as well in the agricultural space. So and then we got metals then in the middle. But a broad-based rally is really what the theme is. Is the current theme. And if you look into the table, we can see some of the markets where the positions are concentrated. It's first and foremost crude oil, which accounts for around 600 and something thousand lots out of the 2.3 or 2.4 million. And then we got the other markets, soybeans and corn, very strong, very big longs that has been accumulated over the past 6 months. And then we got a long in gold, which has been quite sticky. It hasn't really moved around that much during the past 6 months, but it remains elevated and it actually jumped 7% during that last full trading week of the year. So the market looking for gains, no short position, no net short positions held across any of these different markets. One that maybe just stands out a bit is the natural gas, where we had a long of around 250,000 lots on the week of last Tuesday, December 22nd, and we saw this 18% collapse in the price in the days after and that obviously has led to a massive amount of long liquidation, and that's obviously tricky this time of year when liquidity is drying out, if you have a massive position which is suddenly pointing in the wrong direction. So, No worries in across some of the others. Commodities are generally well behaved here. We are seeing small movements. Crude oil, which is obviously one of the keys, remains supported. No need to make any major adjustments to positions with the market still forward looking towards the vaccine led recovery. But if there is one market that has actually sprung higher this past few days here, and now actually challenged gold as being in terms of market performance this year, is the carbon emission contracts trade in Europe. The ticker CFI on your trader has jumped to a record high yesterday, and it is a combination of continued tightening emission plans in Europe, where they set some very very strong very high targets for how much they want to reduce emissions in 2030. And together with this, we've got a cold burst, basically increase in demand for energy. So we see natural gas prices in Europe. This is the TTF I'm showing here on the right hand side. TTF has jumped to nearly 20 euros a therm. That was trading below 5 when we during the pandemic during the first quarter. So really a massive rally in gas, and that obviously makes it more expensive if you at the same time have less wind as we have right now. Wind production from wind energy, then the power utilities, they have to buy coal or they have to use gas, and they obviously, in order to do so, they have to buy power permits, and that's why it's driving up.
So commodities markets pretty much positioned for that reflationary rebound narrative. Well, not pretty much, they're clearly positioned for that reflationary narrative for next year. Quite interesting to see that aggregate position so quite high on that chart. But I was looking specifically, I just happened to look at a corn chart this morning, and it looked quite high. They're quite a strong run up in corn prices. We recall back to 2011-12 when some of the very high grain prices, I think it was wheat especially at the time, even had geopolitical implications. But when you zoom out on a corn chart, you can just see that market has seen far, far higher prices than what we're seeing right now. So, you know, how close are we to some sort of issue that gets us into the same kind of crunch in terms of supply or whatever it is that drove the price to nearly double of what we're seeing here back in that last great run higher in corn?
Well, you're absolutely right, John. It has been grinding higher. It is actually the longest, according to Bloomberg, the longest rally in 32 years, where you got the non-stop move higher. So it is quite a significant rally, but in terms of absolute numbers, it's not. So in the past, it's been primarily been if we had a supply shock in terms of weather related news, it could be in the during the planting season or during the growing season, especially in the US. This time round, it's the factors are several, and some of them are temporary, because we got a major strike going on in Argentina, which basically means that a lot of shipments have not left the harbors now for the past few weeks, and that's been underpinning both soybeans and corn as well. But to return to your question, in order to see a proper spike, then I think we need to get into the spring months, and then basically see how the weather progresses for when the biggest or one of the biggest growers in the world, the US, starts to make their plans for the coming season.
All right. Let's hope nothing happens there. So food prices are not something we want to see running higher for the. So many EMs and frontier markets to depending on those as in a high percentage of their consumption basket. Let's go to the calendar. It's a quiet day today, as it nearly always is. We do have a couple of supply numbers for the U.S. energy. So maybe some interesting South Korean numbers, because it's an advanced one of the advanced economies out there for where we are in the demand cycle. But it's really the stuff, whereas we're rolling into the new year, that's very interesting. And specifically, January 5th, we have these two key U.S. Senate races in Georgia, the runoff races there, and whether both Democrats can win or not. That is the big game changer. If both of those fall to a Democrat, the polls are ridiculously tight. And we've learned from the presidential election, we can't trust the polls anyway. So we'll be watching that very closely. And just the roll into the calendar year in general across markets, I think, is very interesting, given how we're closing this year on a strong note. I mentioned yesterday that, for example, When 1999 closed on a very strong note, we saw some very vicious selling in the first couple of days of the new year, even though that didn't last. It's just that role seemed to develop into some interesting developments in terms of profit taking. But there's also potential for shenanigans in U.S. Congress about approval of the elections. I'll try to tweet out an article. There's one from CNN. There is some precedence for this, but there could be a few Republicans that sort of stand up and protest the vote and make it difficult to approve. How serious a threat of this, I don't know, but it is just part of the ongoing spectacle of dysfunction in U.S. politics, and we perhaps need to clear that hurdle as well before we get to that January 20th Biden inauguration. Now we know fully that the lay of the land is as smooth as people are generally clearly expecting at the moment. With that said, that wraps up our final daily podcast for this year. It's been a great 2020. We've enjoyed our listenership growing. Stay tuned tomorrow for Altea's and my, I'll be hosting special edition podcast on fixed income. For today, thanks for joining, and we'll be back next year.